This is Radio 314 on the Red Ice Radio Network.
Hello everyone, this is Lana Lochteff, and this is the exclusive interview with the white rabbit behind the white genocide memes going around. You may have seen the diversity is a code word for white genocide, or anti-racist is a code word for anti-white memes floating around. Well, for some, Tim Murdoch, who is White Rabbit Radio's Horace the Avenger, is a controversial person. You may have seen his animations on the web, such as How the Whites Took Over America, or Anti-Racist Hitler, or Johnny Racist. If you haven't, please watch them before you listen to this interview. I promise you, you'll have a strong reaction one way or the other. Well, it is quite common for a white person in these insane, politically correct, censored times to be labeled a racist if you do not approve of mass third world immigration into your country, or if you dare to hold on to your European heritage, culture, and tradition and express concern to preserve it. Look at Western Europe, for example. Show any sort of national pride and you're called a Nazi as Muslims march against you in protest in your own country. Voice your disapproval of the escalating violence, culture clashing, and the crumbling welfare system due to mass third world immigration overload, and you can now be arrested for offending a foreigner. White children are being beaten by gangs of non-white immigrants and everyone looks the other way. And that is not a hate crime because a crime is on white? Hate crimes against whites is also rampant in America and it is suppressed by mainstream media. Why? Where are the human rights organizations when white minority farmers in South Africa are being brutally slaughtered? When 80-year-old white women are being raped with broken bottles and viciously murdered? Where are they when white infants in South Africa are being slashed up and dismembered? Oh, it's okay. They deserve it, right? Look at America. We have 1 million immigrants, mostly third world, flooding into our country every year, and we're supposed to sit back and be thrilled and say, come on in, while us whites have to deal with being called a racist because we disapprove of those who are actively destroying what our ancestors have worked so hard to create? That which now foreigners want to profit on while telling us to get out of the way, whitey, because you stole everything, so it's time for you to take it up the ass. Whites are indigenous to nowhere and never had to know hardship? And so all of humanity didn't fight and conquer lands? And now we're even denied our exclusive homelands of Europe because that's racist? Sit back, Lana. Chill out. Diversify, because you're uptight and not cultured. Enjoy the towns that look like a third world country where no one speaks English. Meanwhile, can non-whites who tell me to diversify name two countries in Europe? Do they know a shred of European history other than whites are the reason for all the problems in the world? Then TV points out the white female blonde as the bitch and the racist who's privileged and so anything can be said to her. Like in Sweden where white women are being raped by foreigners and the legal system looks the other way. How is this not anti-white? And the question is, who is allowing the lowest of the low into white countries to do whatever they wish while we are muzzled with hate speech laws? And what will it take before white men and women unite to call out the double standards? Clean out Zionist rats from our governments who seek to destroy us. Jewish intellectuals in America, such as the Harvard professor Noel Ignatiev and many of his kind, can openly tell whites to commit suicide. And he rejoices at the idea of abolishing the white race. But it's not racist because whites deserve it, right? Freud, the hailed Jewish psychologist, was an anti-Gentile Jewish supremacist who said, the world didn't need any more towheads. Towheads are blondes. Ah, that's okay. He didn't mean it like that, Lana. And in America, Obama is now saying things are too white, intentionally trying to work up the hatred against us. Experienced whites are being denied jobs, entry into schools, and loans because of affirmative action. We're being told white is a cancer by a school, media, and entertainment. We're being told to carry guilt and shame for the past and are encouraged to have brown children because white babies are inherently going to be racist one day. But whites are told that it's impossible for a black, Mexican, or Asian to be racist. I am told it's white supremacy if I call out the abuse that my European brothers and sisters are experiencing. I'm told it's white supremacy to be concerned with the preservation of my people and the preservation of our native homelands. And the sad truth is that quite often, this is said by white race traitors who suffer from a pathological mental disease. So to my fellow whites, get keen to this agenda, or we just may lose what we've built up over thousands of years. It's happening now before your eyes. So if you're offended by this program, I don't care. That time is over. Welcome, Tim, also known as White Rabbit Radio's Horace the Avenger. How are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Not too bad. So this is a question I like to ask many Americans these days. What are your roots? So what part of the world did your lineage hail from?
They came out of the British Isles and I believe France, long, long ago into America. Like my mother's a daughter of the American Revolution and that type of thing. So this would have been long, long ago. But Europe, of course.
Yeah, I feel it's important to ask your parents about their parents and so on to know your roots, where you come from. I mean, to learn about your people's traditions and keep passing them on and keeping your heritage alive. Wouldn't you agree?
I would definitely agree, yes.
And today, many European peoples are losing this aspect of themselves in the glory of political correctness, where you're labeled an extremist for hanging on to tradition and heritage, especially if it's Indo-European, because only Nazis do that, right?
Right. Yeah, that's the problem. Anyone that wants to hold on to their heritage that happens to be white is a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews. Everywhere else, you know, it's a black man's proud of his heritage. It's black power, and it's all wonderful. If someone Asian's proud of their privilege, proud of their heritage, it's all kinds of wonderful preserving your culture. If someone white's proud of their heritage, there are Nazis who want to kill 6 million Jews. That's the whole entire agenda.
By the way, congratulations. I saw you were listed as a threat on the Southern Poverty Law Center's website. So well done.
Yeah, that's they sat silent. One of the more interesting stories I could tell your audience, which is kind of big news that has never made news, it was the fact that a very elderly fellow, he's in his 70s, he's a former Reagan appointee. He's done work in the intelligence fields. He was a congressional staffer. And he's been all over the place, but he was very involved in the fall of the Soviet Union in the anti-communist front. He's the one that wrote the consistent message I put out. I didn't write it. I'm just the one that basically came out with the anonymous model to help him. But he was sitting on Stormfront, basically trying to put those white kids on a message about this, about an attempt at genocide against them. And the message is a very radical message. It's called White Genocide. And it was written in about 222 words called a mantra. It's designed, one of the first of its kind, designed specifically for the internet by him. And, you know, the idea that someone, a former congressional staffer, Reagan appointee, would be sitting on Stormfront telling white kids about an attempted genocide against them, it's pretty radical. It's mm-hmm. pretty radical. It's newsworthy. But they pretty much sat silent. The SPLC sat silent, as they will do on any consistent message. The enemy will sit silent until it blows up in their face. And then they'll try to make fun of it or try to tear down those behind it and that type of thing. That's traditional type of stuff. But it's kind of funny. They didn't contact me until, we were already well underway, which is kind of interesting. The podcast itself, Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit, came out in the early part of 2009. And it's a free podcast. Anyone listening can hear it. It's whiterabbitradio.net. Go up, hit the podcast, start at number one. It's very radical. It's geared for the particular audience I'm speaking with. It's geared for alternative news and research. It is very fast moving. You'll either love it or hate it, but it is geared to put you on message very quickly. It's geared to inform you on what type of system you're in and how to actually bring the system to its knees, what its weak points are, and all kinds of other things. Anything generally you wanna hear, this audience wants to hear, we know about it and we're willing to talk about it. That is the direction, but the website itself did not come out for a year later. So the podcast you're listening to in the beginning was a podcast designed for a fully anonymous model, meaning I made myself into a rabbit. I'm not really a rabbit, obviously, but I made myself into a rabbit. He was having a very difficult time with this consistent message or getting a core group on message to start what we would think of as the geometric progression of a particular sound or a vibration through a particular society. And what we did was we backed up into the old Samizdat model that brought the Soviet Union to its knees, which was a totally anonymous model. And I combined it because it's such a heavy hitting message with something kind of off the wall, like Horace the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit. It's just basically about a little group of rabbits who don't have a home because the evil pink rabbits are trying to kill them. I basically use an allegory, which is kind of the old standby in Western civilization. You know, figure if it's good enough for Plato and Shakespeare and Dante, it's probably good enough for us. So, and that's how it started taking off.
And tell us more about Samizdat.
Samizdat. Samizdat was the anonymous model that they used to seed memes into the Soviet Union. The problem with the type of society you're in a closed system, a classic closed system. The Soviet Union, there were so many flaws in this closed system. It was a worker's paradise that had to have guards with machine guns to keep people from leaving, who would actually shoot people who tried to leave, which is not really a worker's paradise, obviously.
exactly.
There's a blaring contradiction. The challenge with these societies is there are so many contradictions. In the USSA, or as we call Western civilization, we have the anti-white proposition. There can be no all-white countries anywhere, and there can be no all-white areas in otherwise all-white countries. And, you know, no all-white areas in these otherwise all-white countries. And we call that white genocide. And basically what we mean by white genocide is that the social engineering policies post-World War II were designed directly and explicitly designed to genocide Indo-European children, wipe them out completely. In other words, someone stated it. And there's two ways I can prove that, actually. But basically, in this type of society, there are so many contradictions. We talk about the contradictions with the Federal Reserve System. Red Ice Creation is full of talking. I mean, you guys every day talk about the contradictions in this society. Mm-hmm. What we do is what we did, what they did in the Soviet Union. We use the same exact model. We back into what we believe is the keystone in their pyramid. The biggest contradiction, the most controversial, something right in front of everyone's face, something that'll actually bring about the whole, that'll bring down the whole house of cards. And in this society, it's our dysfunctional relationship with our elite. We believe it's all based around white genocide. From the controversy that it, creates, and from the psychological warfare aspect that they have us under, I believe they know that as well. Anyone that talks about any of these topics is always called one particular word. And can you guess what that word is?
The R word.
Racist. Yes. What they've done is, and this is something very easy for an audience, and this is something you want to look for worldwide to see where the action is going to be. Anytime we have phenomenon, and the phenomenon in Western civilization is massive amounts of immigration, you can't debate it, you can't even talk about it, or you're a Nazi, or you're racist, we've all heard the words before. And then, of course, you have something that's forced integration, so we have forced immigration, forced integration, forced assimilation, and then they tell us, like the Red Ice piece, not even 2 weeks ago, about our inevitable brown future. Mm-hmm. They're doing this in white countries and only white countries. It's a classic closed model. They don't plan on, you know, China's still going to be Chinese 50 years from now. Africa's still going to be Africa. Saudi Arabia is still going to be full of Arabs, but we're all supposed to be blended.
Kalergi, the founder of the EU movement, said back in 1925 that the man of the future will be a mongrel. Today's races and classes will disappear. The Eurasian Negroid race of the future will replace the diversity of peoples with a diversity of individuals.
Right. Quote unquote, Kalergi. This is one of the original Zionists. Very big deal. But this is one of the key members that got the ball rolling toward this, that Europeans are just going to have to be wiped out to bring about their globalized empire. And what they did was they weaponized social engineering programs. But on one end, we have the massive phenomenon that we're witnessing. Without a debate, without a vote. It's just our inevitable future. And that's part of the psychological warfare. And then, of course, you have the massive chaos and the violence that results of it. Even if you wanted to have a multicultural, multiracial society, like I get emails, well, Singapore works, but they're not building Singapores in New York. They're not building Singapores in Europe. They're not building anything sustainable. They're building absolute globalist hellholes, mm-hmm. is what they're building.
Yeah.
They're building a white genocide model, is what they've unleashed. And on top of this actual phenomenon that we can all witness, we have the propaganda. Not only do you have propaganda, which is massively anti-white, we have weaponized words like racist. Anytime you have propaganda and weaponized words, especially words that are supposed to set off triggers to shut you down, to keep you shut up, and we have phenomenon, we're no longer in the realm of propaganda. For instance, in Japan, I'm sure we have Japanese listeners. They're always making fun of other ethnicities on Japanese television. I don't get offended by it. They make fun of white people all the time. But they're not bombing us. They don't have any evil intention toward our future. They're just kind of being nationalist, poking fun at Koreans, poking fun at white people, poking fun at whoever. That is harmless propaganda. If you have propaganda backed up by phenomenon, we're now into warfare, psychological warfare.
Yep, exactly.
And psychological warfare is always reduced down to, you know, you're either with us or against us. One of the first things we do in the white rabbits versus pink rabbits, we make everything pro-white versus anti-white. We simplify everything for warfare to basically counter that. And that's the only way it can be countered. Until white people can actually go into the point of programming and defend themselves as Europeans, you're over with. You're done.
Yeah.
Because we assume, and many times on the pro-white side, you always get in these discussions. They assume they can educate their way out of it. For education to happen, discussion has to happen. Discussion has not happened in Western civilization out of the anti-white framework, out of the anti-white scheme work. Because as soon as you go outside of that, those boundaries, you're called racist. you're called the same words. Again, they're using psychological warfare to bring it back within that anti-white bounds. So there's been no discussion. There can be no education without discussion. And this cannot happen. You're never going to be able to educate in the face of psychological warfare. So what we did the same thing they did in the Soviet Union. We backed into it with an anonymous model, and we started the basics. What do I say when called a racist? You're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. And you will actually see this phrase all over the place now. Again, when called a racist, you can say, you're just saying that because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. We're going to start looping it. Just like they looped it in using the broken record player. And the broken record player, the broken record strategy is a strategy that has never been beat in the history of the world. The broken record strategy is based on the child model in psychological warfare, where you just say the same thing over and over again until you get your way. It works. Mommy, I want some ice cream. Mommy, I want some ice cream. the child's going to get a reaction, and that's what they're doing. At this stage, of course, racism has become so ingrained that the system cannot maneuver around those particular populations that want to keep on yelling it. And we just keep looping in the opposing meme. We can't do it in just one word or just a couple words. We have to do a whole entire setup to diffuse it. And one of the interesting points I would like to make, and why now? Why are we doing this now? It takes 15 to 20 years to brainwash a country. That's how long it takes to put a country, a civilization, a group of people underneath one media, one set of textbooks. If you think about it, it takes 15 to 20 years to educate someone, mm-hmm. right? You go to grade school, then you go to high school, and then you go to college. What's interesting, it takes 15 to 20 years to undo this process. There are two ways to undo this process to start neutralizing things. One, we never had going for us. One would be to take over the old media, the CBS, the ABCs, the NBCs, the Fox News, and to bring back healthy patriotism, to start talking about healthy, real ideals, to bring back a real media. That never happened. We had something far more revolutionary happen. And the other way to bring about change would be a whole new media. We had that. If you look back at the time the internet came out, 95, things got going, AOL, World Wide Web, and then you look at where we're at now, we're right on time. We're right on time. It takes 15, 20 years to neutralize things, but as soon as new media is far more revolutionary than even taking over the old media, because once a new media comes online, everything comes to a complete halt. I mean, what's the old statement? What's black and white and totally over? Newspapers. The internet did all that. Red Ice Creations was totally created on the internet. Your audience was totally created on the internet, and most of them are asking serious questions about what's going on in the world that aren't getting addressed anywhere else. Mm-hmm. The internet is far more revolutionary than anything we've saw, far more revolutionary than the old copying machines they used for the late Samizdat or the old typewriters, special typewriters for Samizdat in the early days. It is far more revolutionary for spreading memes. The idea that someone like me could come out with an anonymous podcast on third-party websites in late 2009, 2010, and all of a sudden 4 years later be on Red Ice Creations, which is a very large venue, just because of these memes, is pretty extraordinary. It says something for the medium itself. It says something for the pro-white websites we targeted. It says something for the alternative news and research audience, which I'm talking to now, which is my core audience. It says a whole lot.
And, you know, there has been a divide, too, in the alternative media, if you will. There still are a lot of lefties in there. So I get some conspiracy-minded people and occult-minded people and even the individualist anarchist types. And they all write me and ask, why do you care about the subject of multiculturalism? Why don't you focus on more occult or more conspiracy? And I'm like, I am. The very subject of multiculturalism has layers of devious conspiracies, and it's happening right in your face.
Multiculturalism is an anti-white genocidal scam. I mean, no one's pushing multiculturalism in Japan or China or Africa. Yeah. No one's ever going to be pushing it there. No one's pushing this stuff. No one's having this conversation right now in Saudi Arabia. Only two white people are having it in Western civilization on something like Red Ice Creations in front of an audience that's probably 90%+ white.
Yeah.
Think about that. We're the only ones that's discussing hate because it only applies to us. This is a colossal scam. Europeans are probably the most taken advantage of people because we're not ethnocentric. We have no awareness of mortality at all, which is why we'll go to the moon, why we'll create flight and do all this other kind of crazy stuff. We engage in a lot of risky behavior. We have no awareness of mortality at all. So typically the traditional pro-whites are going to try to save them or going to say they need to be saved or something like that. I don't do that. I introduce them that we have an elite here running a scam. They all look like us. They have no loyalty to us. And they've made a move against you. Forget about the Indians. Forget about colonialism. They've made a move against you. What are you going to do about it? Are you going to let them get away with it? Because guess what? these guys aren't just interested in us. They're going to use this to hoist it over the whole entire planet. They're destroying everything. So the question is, you know, what are you going to do about it? And this type of system, well, the funny thing is, this whole entire cage is created with sound and vibration. It can be taken down with the same opposing sound and vibration. Mm-hmm. That's the funny thing about it.
So do you think those in control, do they actually believe that the masses would really be better eventually through interbreeding the races if we were all in one coffee-colored skin? Do they really believe this?
What they don't like about our race is we're not an ant heap. Our behavior becomes very unpredictable. We turn sand into silicone. An ant heap, what I mean by an ant heap, 1,000 years from now, an ant heap will be an ant heap. In the late 1600s, our race started going crazy across the planet. We have all these different inventions building one on top of the other, and there are many different very, very profound ideals that the National Socialist government of Germany got into and why our race was doing this. And that's a whole nother Red Ice Creation show that no one will even touch, really. And in this particular perspective, from this particular framework, you know, our race becomes very unpredictable. They brought out democracy trying to contain us. And then they basically gave up hope post-World War II. And it has to do with something in the National Socialist government of Germany. It has to do with something from Nazi Germany that scared them. And they said the only way we're ever going to control this group is that the Zionists, the core Jewish elite, the Zionist elite are right. We're going to have to blend them out of existence. We're going to have to get rid of them, period. They're too dangerous. They're turning sand into silicone. They're doing crazy stuff behind the scenes in National Socialist Germany. They have all these fantastic fantasy ideals. We can't control them. No sooner than we try to control them, next thing you know, they bring out an internet, you know, and this race is just out of control. So we want ant heaps. Ant heaps are very predictable. They believe in their little racist minds, and this is the ultimate racism, that brown countries are never going to evolve ever. We don't have to worry about the Asians. We don't have to worry about the brown countries. Stupid little animals. They're never going to evolve. We can control them indefinitely with something like communism. But these white people are never going to, they're always going to resist us. They're always going to spring some trap on us. No sooner than we set up a Soviet Union, someone's going to bring it to its knees. Someone's going to have some clever ideal. They're just too out of the box. We're too unpredictable. And they don't like, elites hate unpredictability.
Yep.
They hate it.
Sure do.
We're watching a group of elites now that get into it endlessly with Vladimir Putin because he's too unpredictable, really.
Yep.
They don't know what he's going to do. They're always trying to figure out. They're studying his psychology. They're studying his body moves, trying to figure out what he's going to do. And it's classic European behavior.
Well, and he's spoken out against multiculturalism. He's mortified going through Europe saying, you know, there's cities there that look like a Muslim country and there's people on welfare their entire life. What is going on?
There are many contradictions in Vladimir Putin and his people surrounding him. On one end, he ends up being a ruthless nationalist who'll defend his borders. On the other end, he does support anti-white policies. He's susceptible to being called anti-white right now. I'm waiting for these guys to turn the corner. But my guess is that, you know, the kids on Stormfront are terrified of white genocide working. It's unworkable. It's now coming to a close. It's going to be brought to its knees. It's totally unworkable because for it to work, it has to be constituted everywhere at all places, all times. There's too much resistance growing, and we're going to make sure of that. Now, what the fear comes in then is there's no loyalty, Lana. There's no loyalty. You've never in your life heard someone say, you know, I like my white kids. I think I'll keep them that way.
Mm-hmm.
There's no political figure that has ever done this. Not even Vladimir Putin has said that. So what happens one morning if the English-speaking world, who has been into this stuff, hook, line, and sinker, brings itself to its knees, financially or otherwise? What happens then? Who claims them? You're talking massive tracts of land. You've got a group of children, white kids, who have North America, parts of South America, Australia, New Zealand. They have all of Europe, basically, under their political control, if they choose it. The United Kingdom, Iceland, Ireland, all of Russia, basically the whole top of the planet, but they don't have a home. No one wants them. No one wants you. No one wants me. No one wants us. Isn't that funny?
Yeah.
So what happens is a direct opposite. Someone's going to make a claim. And then guess what? It's kind of like the emperor of China. What we're watching is something historic. And in the history of the world has never happened. The emperor of China has basically tried to make China non-Chinese. In America, America is roughly 90% Indo-European in 1965.
Mm-hmm.
Really? China right now is 90% Han Chinese, give or take a couple percentage. You get the picture. We have the equivalent of the emperor of China trying to make China non-Chinese. Now, all of a sudden, during that process, we have a new powerful emperor growing, whose power is just, it's not waning in any way, shape, manner, or form. in spite of what the neoconservatives say, oh, Putin's going to fail, do this or that. We have a whole group, and there's a German axis, Russian-German axis coming into focus. They're not saying anything. They're just doing all kinds of stuff. What happens if one emperor, you've got a new emperor of China that all of a sudden claims all of China? Well, you didn't want it. I want it. What happens then? And this is, in my opinion, what a great deal of this conflict is over. There's a terrible amount of fear. What happens the day after this stuff fails? Because there's no loyalty at the top of the English-speaking world to us at all.
No, it's horrible. I mean, come on. I know there's Swedish kids, white Swedish kids, that get beaten in the street by gangs of non-white immigrants, and people just watch.
Yeah, and most of their elites laugh at it. You see, this is the thing. I get people writing in all the time that says, look, you can have a multiracial, multicultural society. Look at Dubai. Look at Singapore. I'm saying, look, if they were just to say, we're going to take Los Angeles, New York, we're going to take you're going to take London, we're going to take these big cities. Even Nicholas Griffin of the British National Party said this. And we're going to create Singapore's. We're going to create a safe environment where people, there's about a certain percentage of every population that likes that stuff. They want to live in a multicultural, multiracial society. There's a right and wrong approach to do it. Why genocide? Genocide is not tolerance. Genocide was not a correct approach. They're not doing that. You can't show me anywhere. They're not doing it in Sydney, Australia. They're not doing it in New Zealand. They're not doing it in the UK. They're not doing it anywhere in Europe. They're not making Paris into we're going to make this into some type of multiracial, multicultural district like Singapore. We're going to model it after that. We're going to let people come in here and live. We're going to screen them out and everything else. They're not doing that at all. They're letting, bring us your rapists, your criminals, your murderers, and let them run loose.
Yep.
That's really what they're doing. There is an agenda here. There's a plan.
Here's the other thing. There's 1 million people integrating into our country every year. It's getting crowded. Enough is enough. If we bring in third world people, it will become third world. What's so hard to understand? I've even heard Mexicans telling Mexicans, stay in Mexico and help make it great.
Diversity is going to be there. Diversity is always chasing the last white person around. That's the whole ideal. They're going to keep doing it until they can't do it no more. And then they're going to say, okay, let's shut the doors, let's shut the gates. They're talking about this in the EU now. They're talking about this in UK. And now, of course, there's enough immigrants here. Now we're going to simulate him. We're going to integrate it. We're going to force integrate it. Any white community, you're going to have to have so many different of this race or so many different of this culture, so on, so forth, et cetera. That's what they plan on doing. They plan on closing the doors and then going full-blown white genocide. I know we're going to get people writing in saying that genocide is typically a violent crime. No, it's not. If you look at the 1948 Act, if you understand what happened in Tibet, the law says quite clearly anything designed to destroy a group is genocide. Yep. In Tibet, this is the problem in Tibetan genocide. This is one of the great contradictions. You have the Chinese communists who, of course, you have massive immigration, Chinese immigrants into Tibet. And then you had an attempt at forced integration and forced assimilation of the Tibetan nomads. That's what the Tibetan genocide was all about. You have the same scenario right here going on in, let's say, Marion County, California. It's too white. It's got to be force integrated, force assimilated. We got to bring in all these quote unquote minorities. We're going to, force integrate, force assimilate. Then it's called progressive policies. This can only take place as long as people tolerate it, as long as people don't speak up about it.
That's right. Yeah. Recently, Obama was saying Western Washington University is too white. Then we have in Australia, Tasmania, too white, says anti-whites. Or how about Burlington, Canada? It was a black immigrant came in and said, it's too white here.
Imagine if you were to go into China and say, it's too Chinese.
Well, of course, they'd kick your butt, kick you out,
If you guys want to see this in motion, you can watch Anti-Racist Hitler. It's very inflammatory, but it is basically real quotes said to people like you, said to white, actually most of it from people of power said directly to white kids. And Hitler migrates into Israel and basically introduces multiculturalism. You can see the results. It is a very brutal process. White genocide is what it is. I don't see it as workable long term. I see it now in failure mode. With that being said, we need to make the public very much aware of it. People in charge are not your friends at all.
Of course not. Well, they're Zionists in charge too.
Right. They're not doing anything good for Mexicans. They're not doing anything good. And one of the problems in Mexico is the mass corruption in Mexico. That has historically been at check with massive revolutions. Those revolutions haven't happened lately because they're migrating people north. That's part of the plan. So they're not doing anything good for Mexico. They're not doing anything good for Africans. That's all a lie. This is all about us. It's our own dysfunctional relationship with our own elite, Jew and Gentile alike, the whole lot of them.
Yeah, I agree. Well, some have said that, for instance, Europe is being flooded with Muslims. We know there's lots of Zionists in control and government there, that this is part of vengeance upon the European people. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's what they say. You know, when someone like me is attacked, typically at the local level, you're dealing with white anti-white do-gooders. It's almost like if you're watching Johnny Racist, our latest animation, you're dealing with a robot nearly. They're so programmed.
Yeah.
And they'll keep on saying the same thing over and over again. At the elite level, you're dealing with generally Zionists by and large, and many times you're dealing with someone Jewish. And it's always been the talk that you know, this is revenge on Europe. The problem is that these Muslims they've led into Europe end up being more anti-Semitic than anything they saw under National Socialism. That's one of the problems. And post September 11th, I believe they've been running a different racket. They understand that it's unworkable, the Zionist element. So if you have the thesis, you have massive amounts of Muslim integration. You have an antithesis. You declare a war on terror and you run around destroying their countries and drone bombing. You know, you got these flying killer robots killing them every day, drones. And then, of course, you end up with the synthesis, World War III. And then when the West goes to throw out the Muslims, we can expand greater Israel. I believe that's right. The angle they're playing because yep. That's the only angle they can play now.
Yep.
It's not good for them. The Muslim immigration in Europe is not good for Zionists at all. It's not quite the mix that you have in America.
But at the same time, yeah, they want to let them in so that Europeans can get mad enough, tension rises, and maybe they help take them out for the Jews.
Right. Well, you have a constant controversy among these elites. So some want to create this blended humanity, some want to break Islam, some want to... It's all mess. White genocide is such a mess at these different groups. But by and large, the whole ideal, even going back way prior to World War II, was to create, you mentioned Coudenhove Kalergi. He wanted to create a blended humanity in only Europe. It's what he said. We're going to bring in the Africans. We're going to bring in the North Africans and everything else. And even, of course, some of the famous quotes, you see this propaganda matched by phenomenon, this psychological warfare is not in a vacuum. We have some very choice quotes here, not from some low-level activists, from the top of the club. General Wesley Clark, as the head of NATO, before he bombed Serbia, said there's no room for an ethnically pure state in Europe. He's not saying this to the Saudis, the Arabs. He's not saying this to the Turks. He's not saying this to the Chinese, Japanese, or the Mexicans, or anyone else. He's saying this to only white kids. There's no room for ethnically pure state in Europe. Oh, and your future, we have decided your future is in North Africa. Can you imagine someone saying that anywhere else in the world? Can you imagine what the cries would be? And then he goes around bombing the Serbs. And then, of course, you have the very disturbing stuff like the one that you guys linked to on Red Ice Creation, which is very disturbing because it's basically, if you dissect it, he's talking directly to kids.
Yeah.
And that is Nicolas Sarkozy. When he in his speech, and you can go to whiteRabbitRadio.net, any of the listeners.
Sarkozy's on YouTube, by the way. Okay.
Right. Yeah, it's on YouTube. And on whiteRabbitRadio.net, it's sticky toward the top. It's about the fifth or sixth one down. It says, another elite calls for white genocide. Sarkozy calls for white genocide. And you can listen to exactly what he's saying. He's saying that the current rates of intermixing, miscegenation, there's a translation, are too low. They're going to have to do something to force it. Now, obviously, he's not talking to married people. You're not going to force them. They're already married. You're obviously not talking to old people. You're talking to kids.
Yeah.
Besides the fact that you're talking, this is very perverted stuff. There's more than a few human rights violations in that speech. And this goes to the heart of the plan. You know, I'm always asked this question. What do they plan on doing? Chipping them and forcing them? Well, maybe.
Well, he talked about state sanctions for those who didn't want to interbreed.
Right. I mean, can you imagine? Even if this were to happen, If someone in Israel were to say, give a speech like this, the head of Israel were to give a speech like this, the Palestinians or something, they would be in the ICC, International Criminal Court, very quickly.
Sure. Yeah.
And there's no way you can get away with stuff like this. This is it's beyond being perverted. It's absolutely goes to the heart of the matter. So this isn't some type of conspiracy theory. I always call white genocide the worst run conspiracy ever.
Yeah, of course it is. And then if you portray any kind of instinct for your self-preservation, you're a racist.
Right.
So I'm saying, you know, just get used to being called a racist because they're going to do it anyway. Who cares? It's just a word.
Well, there's a way to undo it. That's the point of programming. Remember, they geared everything up under a handful of code words. The big one is racist. That's the point of programming. That's where they cast a spell over Western civilization. This is the correct word for the Red Ice audience. They cast a spell. In psychological warfare, they created a fear-based consensus trance. Everyone listening has heard someone called a racist and they just shriek back, or they've seen the person shriek back. People are afraid of losing their jobs. Some countries you can get thrown in jail, mm-hmm. so on, so forth, etc. We walk right into the point of programming and we give them something to say because action kills fear. You have to have something to say if someone is not engaged in normal name calling here. They have a big agenda. They're either doing it because they're evil or they're doing it because they're a robot and they're brainwashed in the political correctness school of thought. either way, you have an obligation to defend yourself. It's not, obviously, it's not, self-preservation has nothing to do with thinking you're better or worse than some other race.
Of course.
It's nothing to do with apples. Someone is not playing fairly at all. And of course, what we do even in the first podcast of Horus the Avengers Follow the White Rabbit is give you something to say when called a racist. You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is a code word for anti-white. Don't argue. Don't discuss. If someone's engaging in psychological warfare, they're not interested in a discussion like me and Lana are having. They're not interested in that at all. They're interested in war, either from a robotic aspect of repeating what the elites tell them to repeat, or they're evil. Yeah. Either way, you fire back. And this system can't handle that, because this system is totally geared toward white people being compliant with their own death, being compliant with everything. And I believe this issue of white genocide, I've become convinced, and I think anyone that does their homework will become convinced, it has everything to do with all the other problems as well.
Yep. I've been filtering through hours and hours of crap TV to be able to put together these reels to show what propaganda messages are coming through, especially for the young kids shows. And it's always the white guy's racist and the white guy's not cool anymore. Get out of the way. Get with the times. You're less evolved. And that's okay. It's okay.
Yeah, sure.
And who's making all of these? It's Jews that are producing and writing all of these TV shows as well.
Yeah, it goes back. Generally, you can trace it back to the top of the English-speaking world. I don't know how the history will be written. Our message is geared to exposing the circus of white genocide. And all we have to do is bring awareness and how to combat it on a personal level. And believe it or not, the things will start coming down very quickly. We've already seen some different adjustments the system's trying to make. When it comes down to the circuit, the clowns running around the circus and who owns the circus, I think the history will be quite a while written, but it'll be some different surprises in store. For some of these different elements. Some of them are right in front of our face. It's kind of like the SPLC writes an article about me. What do they say? I'm a basement dwelling Nazi, which is kind of funny.
yeah, I read that.
it's not exactly accurate. Right. What's the funny thing is when you're dealing with the kids from Stormfront, they immediately assume, because the people doing at the executive level, the Tim Weisses, the SPLC is by and large Jewish funded, and all the money comes from generally Jewish sources, the people running things are Jews, that it's all just them. We actually reduce everything down to pro-white versus anti-white. That's what we do for simplicity's sake, and that's what you have to do to fight it, because at the local level, you're dealing with a lot of paycheck anti-whites and other things like that as well. We lump them all into one big core group, but at the executive level, they're overwhelming. But I have a feeling in the history of white genocide, there would be some interesting twists and turns. At the Hollywood level, obviously, they're dominant.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
The Jewish Zionist elements are dominant. Yeah, but, you know, the SPLCs, they love doing that type of stuff. They love writing the hit pieces. At one time, they were taken quite seriously. They aren't taken so seriously anymore. They've been taken off the FBI page as official source. So is the Anti-Defamation League in the past 6 months. Once the consistent messages start coming out that go to start damaging this type of system, it's called pressure from below. We expect to see all kinds of different strange movements. And an individualist society like Europeans build is vastly different than a totally tribal society. A tribal society, you can see the tribe coming right at you. In an individualist society, they come at an enemy from different points at different space and different times. So it's kind of like ripples in the deep. You start seeing the waves. There's an interesting gentleman named Gilead Otzman who starts talking about the ripples in the deep.
Yeah.
You guys have had him on. He likes our animations, but we see these ripples in the deeps where people are starting to get upset and they're starting to zero in on things. But the SPLC, you know, they write this type of stuff and they expect people to take it seriously. What they did in my case, they called a bunch of old neighborhoods, and on any given night, I sleep in a spare bedroom where my mother's dying from Parkinson's disease, and I sleep in the spare bedroom next to her bedroom, but they said I live in the basement. That's not exactly accurate. But when you do this type of thing, eventually you're not taken seriously. And not during the day necessarily, just at night. She's dying from Parkinson's, but they know this type of thing, but they write this type of stuff expecting to be taken seriously.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that's typical.
Ugh. So yesterday I was watching this disturbing video, and it showed a classroom of kids of different colors, and there was a white teacher, and she singles out this white kid and asks the other students, "What color is he?" They all said white, and she said, "No, that's not right." And the children were all confused. She then colored the white kid's hand with a peach marker and said, "He's peach." And all the kids laughed at him, and he was just mortified and shrugged his head and went in the corner. So now our white children are being taught that they are not white anymore. It's just a social construct. But then they turn around and sport race-based affirmative action.
Sure, Sure. Well, that's the thing. You know, they have no problem with knowing who's white when it comes down to affirmative action. They have no problem with knowing who's white when it comes to who's to blame for all the world's problems like colonialism and kill the Indians. But as soon as you start questioning them, they all of a sudden they have Alzheimer's. They don't know who's white anymore. Yeah, it's all a scam. It's all a bunch of double talk. It's all a giant scam.
And now in the socialist utopia of Sweden, a new law is being passed. I sent this to you earlier to prosecute those who offend immigrants or those in power. So you can't say anything about immigrants, no matter what crimes they commit or what they do or how they treat you. You just have to take it. Same right. In France and UK, same thing. Sharia law in the courts of UK. You know, how far is this tolerance going to go?
What they like to do is hook up with groups like the Anti-Defamation League and the SPLC and let those groups be the authority on who to persecute. And anyone white who speaks out at all, I don't care if you're a, you know, there were sheriffs who just happened to be white who said something about immigration, and now the SPLC wants to go to war against it. When you go into that type of extreme behavior, and the anti-white proposition is very extreme. Let's go over this again. There could be no all-white countries anywhere, and there could be no all-white areas in otherwise all-white countries. This is very extreme proposition yes, that they're trying to enforce. And anyone at all that speaks out against them, they have to have their Gestapo to go after, and they would love to throw everyone in jail or you know, go back to the Bolshevik times and just shoot people for being called a racist, that type of thing. We're not quite there yet. What we've seen is something quite interesting at the same time. If you ever watch Faux News or what I guess we call Fox News, they've been trying to angle around some of these race issues. Bill O'Reilly came out with, you know, this is what you should do when called a racist. You know, he does this stuff like they're trying to respond to it. The funny thing is, if you understand brainwashing, it takes 15 to 20 years to brainwash a country. Once that process is over with, there's a percentage of the population you're stuck with. Now, this is self-reinforcing to the system. It can also be self-defeating if a consistent message comes out opposing, because no sooner than you're having a conversation, let's say about Bitcoin, and Bitcoin is generally a white conversation. Anything white is labeled racist, right,
Lana? By the way, oh yeah, you got that.
and we talked about this via email, but in any white conversation, you can't have a discussion. Remember that it goes out of anti-white bounds, but now it's working against the system. If you have something to say to defend yourself, all of a sudden you got another sound, you got another vibration, and this vibration we're giving off is extremely destructive to this type of system. The problem is that you're stuck with this core group of people, and now the system's stuck with them, and the system cannot maneuver around them. They don't know what to do. They can only yell racism. They can only try to enforce diversity. They get more and more frustrated. And it's actually self-defeating now for the system.
Yeah,
because they can't make any type of adjustments like, well, not all white people are racist, only some white people, you know, they can't do that. You know, these teachers have been brainwashed. They know how to, you know, okay, do the little lesson, embarrass the white kid and tell him he's really peach. And this is what they've learned. They've been brainwashed in this, and there's no way out of it for the system. They're stuck with these people.
And now the word I hear going around more than racism is, it's white privilege. You've just been in it so long that you can't tell that you're a white privileged person.
Yeah, one of the things we moved into larger and larger. I moved into personally based on lifestyle that larger media productions. And one of the series we just brought out, Johnny Racist, we take this on very much directly. Check your privilege and white privilege.
Yeah, and it's ridiculous. It's like, so our group success is racist when it's white success.
right.
But, you know, there's Jewish privilege or black athletic privilege.
Right. Racism only applies to white people's homes, white people's churches, white countries. It doesn't apply to anyone else. They're not trying to yell racism anywhere else. It is an anti-white genocidal scheme. And hate, basically, racism is an anti-white hate slur is really what it is. But until someone opposes it, once you understand it's psychological warfare, you can fight fire with fire at the right place and time, and you can actually do a great deal of damage against this type of system very quickly without anyone even realizing what's going on. The next thing you know, the Berlin Wall topples. No one even realized what happened. And that's kind of what we're going for. We're going for those particular moments. Where more and more, you know, these type of memes are going to be seeded again and again and again, and they become more volatile the more they're used.
Yeah, and the other thing is, as media, we should be reporting some of these hate crimes on white people that are constantly suppressed, and you never hear.
If it wasn't for the internet, they wouldn't exist at all. Yeah. It would just be a figment of our imagination. It's shocking.
How about the minority white farmers in South Africa that are just brutally being murdered? You know, why isn't that front page news?
That is a violent genocide. That is what I believe the model is. The Coudenhove-Kalergi model originally set out. I believe that South Africa is much farther along. In other words, let's reduce Europeans to a minority in their ancient homeland. homelands in any homeland they happen to be at, whether it be Australia, whatever. And once we reduce them to a minority, we'll just let violent crime and intermarriage take over in one big flurry. And I think you're seeing that the South African model takes place. Of course, that came in front of the ICC. That's obviously a genocide. They're like, in Genocide Watch, the Boer farmer of Australia, South Africa, is like on a level 8 out of a number of 1 to 10. I think they're like at an 8 now.
Yeah.
That is a violent genocide. Genocide doesn't actually have to be violent like we see in Tibet, but any attempt at all to introduce any type of weapon or anything like that, and that's what I believe social engineering is. I believe they stated it on the record. We're gonna just social engineer them out of existence. We're designing social engineering like a weapon to wipe them off the planet for good. We won't have to worry about anything.
So get keen to it, people. Wake up. You know, and I've had some conspiracy folks write me and say, but they want the races to be fighting each other. So you're just antagonizing.
They do. They run an ethnic conflict model, but this is not an African issue. No one's flooding Africa with non-Africans and saying, you know what? We need more diversity here. You're too xenophobic. So we're going to give them special rights and privileges, free healthcare. And, you know, we're going to create a blended humanity in only Africa. No one's flooding China with non-Chinese and saying, you know what? You're too nativist over here. You're xenophobic. So we're going to give them special rights and privileges, free healthcare. And we're going to create a blended humanity in only China. Again, this is only white countries, only white people. This is a white collar crime. Only white elites are pushing this. It's genocide. It is not this is interracial. It's not interracial. It is within our race. It has nothing to do. You know, if you go to whiterabbitradio.net, all you see is white rabbits and pink rabbits. There's not black rabbits. There's not Mexican rabbits. They are kind of like a sideshow. I am convinced that the elites, they could be little green men from another planet, and that's fine as long as they're part of the process. I even think there's some elites that don't care what they blend us with. They want to, we'll make them part plant, we'll make them part animal, whatever.
Yeah.
Let's just blend them out of existence.
And
that's just part of the process. I don't think they're all that picky. I think some elites are picky and others are just like, we got to blend them with something. We really don't care.
Jeez. And then what kind of world do they think they're going to have after we're gone, which we won't be?
Well, what they think is muhaha, we'll rule the world forever. These you know, they think these non-whites are basically, and the problem would be, of course, China and Japan and stuff like that. But by and large, they think that they're strong enough to where they can rule them indefinitely.
Yeah.
And they have the audacity to call us racist. The big fly in the ointment, of course, is Vladimir Putin right now. But, it's all coming to a head right as we speak. And they have some wild plans. These guys have wild plans. Red Ice Creations has been at the forefront of talking about some of their wild plans. Mm-hmm. White genocide is probably the biggest conspiracy they've run. It's right in front of our face because Europeans don't have an awareness of mortality, because of our ability to go to the moon and do crazy stuff like this, because of our non-ethnocentric nature, they're just now starting to pick up for it. It is not a universal, though. It is a deal between us and our own elites that we have to fight. I mean, if you care about the world at all, trust me, you don't want them in a world without the check and balance of a giant white population holding them to some type of standard.
Yeah.
Because you will have one giant Palestine. They'll do whatever they want to do.
Well, I'm glad you're not a socialist either, because many white folks who want to stop mass immigration, they tend to lean on the national socialist side of things. And then on the other side, you have the individual anarchists who say, no borders, man. You know, where do you fall politically on the issue of balancing white interests and politics?
Well, you know, there are two types of states that work long term, two types of countries. One is relatively modern. It's freedom of association. You choose to be there and they choose to have you. Singapore comes to mind. Dubai comes to mind, these different models that are relatively modern. I guess there's some ancient city-state type models along those lines, but I don't get into that. And then there's another type, and that is blood. You know, blood is the obviously most organic substance we know of. Europeans all come from a handful of mothers. Africans all come from like 13 primordial mothers, and you're dealing with some type of blood state where everyone looks like you, everyone shares some type of common value, common background. In between that, there's a bride, you know, there's monarchism, there's all kinds of other stuff. I think that obviously I believe that the Europeans of the future will have very, very diverse societies as far as governance and that type of thing is what I actually believe. I would want a wide range of societies, basically.
Yeah, me too. More pan-anarchist type of societies.
There's a growing number of what would be called pan-Aryan, and that would be various different types of, in my mind, various different types of white societies. You know, I've heard people in the alternative news and research sets that, look, if someone wants a national socialist state and all white, give it to them. I'm of that mindset, too. If someone wants an all-black state or an all-Muslim state, which they already have, you know, the problem is the all-white state. There's many different kinds. I wouldn't fit it in one model of national socialism or anarchism. I would want some type. Europeans tend to be very diverse. Very diverse in ideals, very individualistic, and I would let that flourish on some type of platform, you know. But they have to. You're going to have to understand that we're in a global war. This isn't just America. This is not just in Montreal. This is not just in Sweden. This is all over the place, and they'll push it down anyone's throat they get a chance to. You know, as soon as Eastern Europe opened up, they said, "Oh, okay, you ready for immigrants?" You know, they want to pour immigrants into there.
Yeah,
more workers. Let's put in immigrants. They're not talking about putting in, you know, white immigrants from America or white immigrants who are being killed in South Africa. They're talking about putting them in from, of course, poor third world countries, which, of course, causes ethnic conflict, which, of course, is part of the game, which is part of their particular model. And it's all one vicious cycle we call white genocide.
Yeah, it makes me sad to see tension between Ukraine and Russia. I come from that part of the world. You know, why are these men at odds with each other when they're so much alike? And it's obvious that these posing Western oligarchs want to start some kind of war and have an excuse to take out Russia. How many white people are over there, you know?
Yeah, well, they love killing us. We're their preferred. They love killing us. And you know, Vladimir Putin has done such a damper. Every time they try to get a big war going, he shut them down, of course, most notably just recently in Syria within the last 6 months, I guess it was. So now they're right on his doorstep. And they're pinpricking old Soviet history, which is interesting because the same group of oligarchs in the West actually had a lot to do with the starvations as far as the Holodomor in the Ukraine. The same group of oligarchs had a lot to do with the first Bolshevik government that murdered Christians by the tens of millions and anyone else that got in their way. Yep. And so it's interesting that they're putting them at the forefront of creating this tension once again. And, you know, one of the gentlemen that there's a lot, they're probably pound for pound, there's more conspiracy talk than anyone else, is Zbigniew Brzezinski. And I know it's going to get serious over there because he said that we need to arm the different elements in Ukraine. And he is a Pole. He's an old Polish gentleman. And he's basically stuck in a Cold War mindset where, you know, Russia is going to roll over Poland and everything else. What they're really trying to do is kick up a storm in what they call the quote unquote, and this is a nice term, the dirtball countries, which they call the Eastern European countries, and to cause a big problem with Russia to cut the Russian German axis, which is now forming off. That's a whole nother conversation, but that's in my mind what they're doing, because a Russian German axis with Russia's land, Russia's natural resources, and Germany's manufacturing and engineering is a natural symbiotic relationship that is the fear of the Anglo elite, period. It's a devastating, it's a new world order killer. You bring in China and then you backdoor Japan, it's over with. It's game over. The next thing you know, someone claims the white population, which is spread out after centuries of expansion all around the world. And what do you have? You have a super state with the people running the English speaking world would have no power in whatsoever. Putin is very good at anti-subversion. He's the best we've ever seen. And anyone that's good at anti-subversion is going to have the number of the English-speaking world elite because they are nothing but subversives. It doesn't matter what you throw at him from the gay angle, from the Ukraine angle. It doesn't. He always has their number. It doesn't matter. You can try to subvert this. And typically, a subversive is going to look for any minority with an axe to grind. And there typically are some splinter group with an axe to grind. It could be a group of national socialists like they did in Ukraine, neo-Nazis. They could be gays, they could be Jews, they could be anything, and use them as a wedge group to try to create chaos and try to create arrested development in that particular country. He's just pretty much wise to it. He shuts it down very quickly.
Yeah, notice that. Yeah, you know, where are my reparations for the Bolshevik Jews who stole my family's wealth?
Good luck with that. They'll throw you in jail for talking about it.
I keep hearing, you know, reparations, you know, for slaves and places and World War II, and where's mine?
That reminds me of something. I'm going to get an email about what do I say in regards to anti-Semitism when called an anti-Semite. You're just saying that because I oppose Jewish supremacism. Anyone opposed to Jewish supremacism is called an anti-Semite. The word anti-Semite is one of the most overused words like racist. It's another one of these weaponized words where you can lose everything by being called it.
Oh, yeah.
And right now, these words are very vulnerable if you're willing to take it on and loop it. And again, just hit the broken record player. Someone calling you that for questioning, for reading history or talking about history or having discussion. Obviously, Lana's not talking about throwing a bunch of Jews in concentration camps or anything like that. But, you know, you can't even have a discussion without getting called these names. And what you do is, again, one of the challenges for someone like me is the dissidents, like, and some of them you had on is Dr. Sunak. Very good at getting around these subjects. The average person needs something to say. The average person isn't fast on their feet, isn't necessarily going to be very clever with words. And that's where a consistent message comes in. It's something that can be used by a 5-year-old in Germany, a 7-year-old in the UK. Just like you basically got to turn the tables on them.
So is this the tactic in the long run?
Yeah, it is. Well, and it actually won't take that long, I don't think. I think we're going to see breaks. Breaks are already starting to happen. It's just we're not seeing some giant earth-shaking event. It's little things over and over again. This type of system is brought down not with giant violent acts. There's always this type of thinking. You get this from the environmental side. The most dangerous terrorist, according to the FBI, are the eco-terrorists. Ecotage, they call it, or instead of sabotage, ecotage. And they're considered to be the most dangerous terrorists. And they believe that you can bring about change in this society by violence. You can't. The people in charge can always control the message regarding violence. Where they have problems is when they lose control of the message. And we've been contacted by a lot of environmental groups because if you can put kids on Stormfront on message, will they assume you're magic or something? And that's more along the lines of me doing a guessing game and getting a little lucky. But with that being said, what I always explain to them is this whole entire environmental thing, what you guys don't understand is the elites were brought to their knees over losing control of the message. And this is something we want to end talking about. I'm going to show you guys the power of alternative news and research and the power of memes right in front of your face, something that most of you have heard of, but didn't actually realize what was going on. There is a meme out there called Global Warming is a Hoax. And I know, Lana, you've heard of it.
Sure,
I know every listener has heard of it. None of you know where it comes from. Some guys like me in the early 80s tried to get the ball rolling against the global warming set, against the Al Gore set, against the Rothschild set. And they tried to get the ball rolling. Of course, it failed because they didn't have any major communication. They didn't have the foundation of major communication. When the internet came out, they got the ball rolling again. And it wasn't an epic fail. First, they seeded the memes. Once you seed the memes, the flowers grow. Once the flowers start growing, you have no idea who's going to fertilize them. One morning, a bunch of Russian hackers during some big environmental conference over global warming that was snowed out, they hacked into these UK computers. And what did they reveal? They revealed that the global warming stats were all being cooked. Remember that?
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Global warming became a hoax. This is one of the most laughed at memes by the elite set of all times. Global warming is a hoax brought them to their knees. Basically, the Al Gores of the world thought that just owning the academics, just owning the media, just owning the textbooks, and just basically forcing something down people's throats was enough. With alternative news and research and with what's going on the internet, you have to control the message. If you lose control of the message, you lose control of that aspect of society. If you can threaten control of the message, you can bring everything to the knees. We believe the white genocide message, and I think most of the listeners, if they look at it and they listen to what I'm telling them, understand that you can bring the whole entire thing down with this particular set of memes that we've introduced. It goes right to the heart of the matter, but that is power. That's the type of power. They like for the eco-terrorists to believe that they're going to make a difference by blowing up CEOs, burning down homes and out west, sitting in trees, tearing down, or putting spikes in trees to hurt people, people trying to chainsaw them or saw them at mills. They want them to believe that because that perpetuates the system. What actually they don't want them to believe is that all you have to do in this system is to control the message. If you can control the message, you can control the society. Most of the kids on Stormfront believe that the Jewish elite in Hollywood control everything by controlling the media. That's half true. The easy half. They control the message. They use the media as a mass tool to control the message at all times. You know, whether it's Ahmadinejad is going to wipe Israel off the map, they're constantly seeding memes, and they're always on message. This neocon crew is the best I've ever seen at being on message. If you go off message, I don't care whether you're Jew or Gentile, they'll cut your throat. No book deals, no Republican convention for you, no AIPAC meeting with Netanyahu. They will cut your throat if you ever go off message. Messages, they take their politics very seriously. But once you understand what the control points of the system are, you understand that you have to take politics seriously. You have to take, and that's what I talk about, practical politics, which is what you say every time you open your mouth. This type of system is susceptible time and time again with a sound and a vibration opposing the elites. We believe we have the basic keystone to their pyramid, which goes right to the heart of our own dysfunctional relationship with them. So forget about them, the move they made against the Indians. Forget about the moves under colonialism. Think about the moves they made against you. And you have a chance to get even with them.
Yep.
It's the way we look at it.
So I got to ask you, is evolution, nature, God, whatever you want to call it, is it urging us to rise up and do better, us as a white race? I mean, have we become too decadent, too lazy?
Well, you're only as good as your elites. As they say, the fish rots from its head. Basically, post-World War II, especially, every single vice, every single detour, you know, our race tends to, we have a big issue once we start subverting our organic identity for an abstract principle. I always tell non-whites, anytime you hear some European talking about some ism, in other words, they're not white, they're some environmentalism, or they're not white, they're into this ist or ism. Don't walk, run, because they'll destroy you and everything else. But our race has a penchant for fantasy. And anytime we start subverting our organic identity, being white, for some abstract principle, it ends up in disaster, not only for ourselves, but for the planet. and we end up trying to universalize everything that can't be universalized. You can't universalize some tribe in the Amazon trying to preserve themselves. You can't universalize the Nordic cultures for wanting to preserve themselves. Again, this is just fundamental human behavior, but we get sidetracked really easily. And the elites know this. Every single vice, every single thing, head trip from here to Estalon, they will just put you on, whether it be marijuana, legalization, anything to get you fighting anything but them.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
And what we want to reduce it down to is, again, pro-white versus anti-white. Keep it simple. White rabbits versus pink rabbits.
Yeah.
Keep it very simple. Take it right at them and watch change occur.
I also notice males, white males are getting hit the hardest right now. You should be guilty because of the sins of your father line. Haven't you noticed this?
Sure. Yeah. It's, you know, it's kind of like this. You know, no one's flooding Turkey with non-Turks and saying, you know what? You Turks colonialized, raped, murdered the Slavic populations for 300 years. So we're going to invite all these strangers into your country. We're going to give them special rights and privileges and free speech over you, but your speech in retaliation will be hate speech. We're going to create a blended humanity in only Turkey as punishment. The Ottoman Turks ran the biggest colonial empire ever and far more brutal than anything the British could ever do. But you're not hearing that. This is basically a war, and yes, they do target white men. That is a follow-up podcast on Red Ice Creations. I actually talk about my different ideals on this. They're targeting a Y chromosome for a particular reason, in my opinion. And this may be something that goes back quite a ways. The elites don't like something about us. Mm-hmm. And I have a feeling we're going to find out why.
Mm-hmm.
It goes down to our creativity. It goes down to, you know, our elite, whether we like it or not, our elite is in coast. They are basically surrounded by their mythology. And their mythology points to some weird things.
We need a return of the Viking. You know, it's like these guys have lost confidence. White men
have lost
their confidence.
Well, they don't have a way to fight. Here's the thing. You know, under this type of system, let's go back to ecoterrorism. You've got the Vikings setting foot there. They're by and large all white, thinking they're going to burn down something and make a difference. This is a cage based on sound and vibration. The only way you're going to destroy it is based on a sound and vibration. There's nothing you can do in this system illegal to change it. I'm going to repeat that. There's nothing you can do in this system illegal to change it. I guess Vladimir Putin could hit LA with a nuke and bring down America. They could probably put it to her knees. But the elites are still going to be in bunkers. This type of system is brought down with its own contradictions, put through a consistent message by a professional like Bob Whitaker that wrote ours, and hit with the broken record strategy over and over again. Just like they designed it. Every time they get online, we're just going to yell racism. Every time someone yells racism, we say, you're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. There's a lot in that little statement. Code word is something people that are evil use. And this is the type of thing that gives this system convulsions. Global warming is a hoax, gave Al Gore convulsions. At first they laughed. They're not laughing anymore. They changed it from global warming to what? Climate change. Mm-hmm. They should have went with that to begin with. That way, when they're lying, they could swing from global warming to global cooling. When you go with global warming, there's a 50-50 shot it may cool. You got problems. You know, they were hit. They were devastated by their own magic. And they can be over time and time again. You can break these type of spells they try casting. And that's what it is. They're trying a fear-based consensus trance. And they bring it about. And then anyone that goes against it gets hit with one of these weaponized words to silence them. And they're, of course, trying to do with climate change as well. You know, they're a little late on that one, but this is, it can be done. So the Vikings are there. They just need to know how to fight. They need to know what the system is. In fact, just recently in Sweden in the past year, we've had great news that the anti-white organizations that run things said, you know what, at the grade school level, we're no longer, when we yell racist at these white kids, they're no longer backing down. They're just saying anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. They're saying things like this, which is what we want. We want them defending themselves. What goes back to the Vikings would, of course, they want to jump up and they want to fight. But you can fight the system. You just have to know how.
Yeah, you can't go with guns blazing. It'll be Waco before you know it.
It doesn't matter whether you go into Breivik or the Twin Towers. This system just perpetuates itself off violence. Violence doesn't work. On the other hand, sound is extremely destructive. It's seductive and destructive. Sound can transport you back to where you were childhood when you hear that Christmas tune you first heard when you were little. Sound can also be incredibly destructive. You can break glass. Opera singers break goblets all the time with sound.
I've tried sound healing before, and that works with the tuning forks. I feel great afterwards.
The government's, of course, investing in all these sound weapons. What we're doing is, what I'm telling the audience over this past hour was that we found resonance in the system. Resonance is a frequency at which the system will vibrate. If you can get it vibrating, you can break it to the ground. Just like the Soviet Union, just like the Berlin Wall came down, it comes down the same way it was erected, with a sound, with a vibration. And it's extremely, it's a rigid structure, just like a wine goblet.
It's going to happen. It's unnatural, and it will fall. It's not going to stay.
There's no doubt about it. The only thing we're looking to do is speed it up.
Yeah, exactly. I have another question for you. I know we're going to wind down here, but why aren't there more white women nationalists or white women that see this genocide agenda in your view?
Well, half my listeners are, 40% are probably white. Some of the most active animators. I mean, my animators always say, I run an anonymous model. So we got EMI, the white rabbit. No one's seen Kloss, the white rabbit. We have all these different white rabbits, but they're far more active. They just want to get active in a different way. Generally, the pro-white struggle has been made up historically of different nationalist groups that march. As it becomes more creative, as it gets more art dependent, like multimedia type productions, as you get into consistent messages, women are just as effective, if not more. You can probably, Lana, you can get away with saying a lot more than I can get away with.
Yeah.
Women can. It's the Angelina Jolie effect, where they brainwash the whole entire place into thinking white women are, you know, all Angelina Jolie. So they'll kind of let you run your mouth a little bit more than they will me. Without getting upset, but you can get away with a lot, and you're going to see more and more of that. That's a question I can't answer, other than they haven't catered stuff for them. I have podcasts particularly catered to white females.
Yeah,
talk to them all the time by email.
Unfortunately, there's a lot of these white nationalist types that aren't so classy, and they don't deliver the message well, and it's a turnoff to women. And then, of course, they're brainwashed to think national pride is, you know, white trash, neo-Nazi skinheads who beat women in the trailer park, you know?
Yeah, well, they don't really have someone like me on TV. They have the stereotype.
Yeah.
So what you've got to do is break through the stereotype. I've been to some of the meetings. I was at the infamous Stormfront meetings. They're not what anyone would expect. And anyone would show up there would realize that you're not dealing with what you think you're dealing with. If any of these women that think that were to go to meet like Dr. Tom Sunek, you had him on your show, they're not what you think, or Dr. Kevin McDonald. But that's a perception brought about by the SPLC and bought by hundreds of millions of dollars and actually billions out of Hollywood.
They are some of the kindest guests we've had on that I've spoken with.
Well, they're going to be some of the smartest people in Western civilization, no doubt about it. But the challenge becomes is you've got certain stereotypes, and you do have, it's kind of like, you know, talking about the environmental particular groups. There are a lot of legitimate environmental issues, no doubt about it. And there's a lot of legitimate concerns with environmental degradation, pollutants, God only knows, the different additives in food. But there's a certain, they want to stereotype everyone into that eco-terrorist that doesn't go along with the globalist plan for the environmentalists. And this is something that they're having to fight as well. The way you do it is just, you know, with a consistent message and by presenting a different image. You're not going to ever, you know, the press has called me numerous times. I've talked to different parties, but they're never going to quote me in any of these pieces. They know what I'm going to say. They know what we're about. They don't want to do anything to publicize White Rabbit Radio because we're not exactly a stereotype.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's nothing. It's not like anything you've ever heard before, and it's not like anything you've ever seen before coming out of the pro-white side. And that's one of the reasons we've been successful. We break those molds, but there's plenty of pro-whites out there that break these molds. You've talked to them. You're just going up against a stereotype. But more and more people, as they turn to the internet for information, as they get hit with these memes over and over again, are coming to see things another way. They're becoming to listen to other viewpoints. They're breaking loose of the programming. There's still a handful, 30%, that the system's going to be stuck with. They're going to keep yelling racism. They're going to keep saying, well, Lana's a Klanswoman or something like that for talking about these issues. But more and more, that'll be kicked down to the dirt.
Yeah.
Or more of these will become legitimate issues.
Yeah, the only person that has said something to me was a woman who called me a Nazi.
Yeah, anyone white with some opinion on race and cultures that goes against the mainstream is always a Nazi who wants to kill 6 million Jews.
Well, you know, women like to see confidence, and today white men, they've lost that confidence, but if they can get that back,
well, they don't have anything
to say.
They can
get the women back too.
Right, they don't know what to say, if you think about it. They don't know what to say.
Well, because also there's a war on the gender roles and family, so the guy's confused. Like, what the hell? Where's my place now, you know? The girl's offended if I open a door, or what's going to happen, you know?
Yeah, there's a war on everything. If there's a white insect out there, there's a war on that white insect. we're about as crazy as you're going to see a society go. Yeah. Especially somewhere like America, as far as the medication levels, the divorce rates, all the insanity.
Well, I hope more strong, intelligent men tune into this and see what's going on. You can plan and organize and take our countries back, you know, clean up our corrupt governments and kick the ass of men who rape our women and mind control our children. You know, we need those men back.
There you go. Before a samurai learns to swing a sword, he first says, "Hiya." You've got to say something to defend yourself. They've lost the ability to defend themselves. And the dissidents, the great dissidents like the Dr. Kevin McDonald's, can run circles around these terms, but the average person can't. It's unduplicatable. Someone like me addresses everything at the psychological warfare level. What do I say when called a racist? You're just saying it because I'm white. Anti-racism is just a code word for anti-white. Watch the magic happen. And of course, the Red Ice audience will probably see the conflict coming to Red Ice from just having someone like me on.
Oh, sure. We can take it.
Exposing White Rabbit Radio. There you go.
Just delete. No, time for it. We're actually busy doing stuff.
This isn't a non-white issue. This is a white issue. This is a white-collar crime. We're talking about something. We're not saying it's going to work. We're bringing awareness, and awareness does a lot of damage to the system.
Yes, it does. The other thing that I feel that women get sucked into the kind of lefty PC agenda is because they're always claiming to care about the children all the time, which we know is garbage, but unfortunately it attracts women.
Yeah. Well, by and large, what you do is play the Sarkozy and understand that this is for children. Do you want to force blend children? Do you think that's morally acceptable, to force blend children? He's not saying this to Arabs or Chinese. He's saying this to white kids. Is this morally acceptable?
Exactly. So I've got to hammer that point.
You can't
women.
Say genocide is moral. You just can't. You can't say, well, you murdered the Indians 300 years from now. Typically what they'll do is say there's no such thing as white genocide, and then they'll justify it. You can't justify something you say is not occurring.
Mm-hmm.
You can't justify something you say is not happening. And of course, if it's wrong 300 years ago, what the hell makes it right now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If it's wrong, it's wrong. You know, you're not helping them out by letting something happen to yourself and to innocent children now. Because white people, by and large, I'm always saying, well, white genocide sounds kind of like white people are victims. Well, no, they can rise up and change things overnight. Believe me. Children are victims. Children are defenseless. Like the little boy you talked about who was having his palm drawn, you know, they said it was peach. They're humiliating. He's defenseless. His parents aren't. They can say something to defend themselves. And that's basically in this system. If you could sit down and say, you know what? Someone's going to control all of Western civilization. And when you get out of line, they're just going to yell racist. When you get out of line, they're just going to yell anti-Semite. You would laugh at that. But that's what's happened.
Yeah, sure.
It's psychological warfare is what it is. It can be countered at the right place and the right time. The time is now.
I've even seen it with suppressed archaeology. You know, they're finding like Stone Age European Clovis culture that predated American Indians or European DNA. And people are like, that's racist.
Oh, yeah. Anything white that they find, you're lucky to see it on TV at all. Usually you're going to get a shopping mall over top of it real quickly. Yeah, you know, there is a Clovis genes. These are from Europe. Shopping mall. Hide it. Send it to the Smithsonian. Yeah, they are worried to death about our particular race, our particular history, and things that, in my opinion, I used to be of the opinion, Lana, that they've been lying to me post-World War II, or they've been lying for 20th century.
Oh, yeah.
I've come to believe from the alternative news side of things, because I'm more of the skeptical type of guy. I'm a skeptic when it comes to things like UFOs. I've started looking at things from a totally different standpoint that we've been lied to for a long, long time, hundreds of years, thousands maybe, about certain things. they've been going out of their way to hide things from us. And they're definitely afraid of our particular race. They're definitely afraid of Europeans. They're not afraid of the Chinese, in spite of what they might say. They're not afraid of Indians. They're not afraid of Pakistanis or Arabs. They're deathly afraid of Europeans.
Yeah. Well, after World War II, the good war, right?
Right.
That's also when the influx of chemicals started coming in. So white people, European people have been saturating in these chemicals, and there's a eugenics program going on. So I always urge people to get off all of that stuff. Stop using it.
One of the tragedies is my mother has Parkinson's, okay? Mm. And I spend most nights in a spare bedroom next to a lady dying from Parkinson's, and having the monitor doesn't stretch very far in the house. So I go over there and I make sure I sleep there at night. And it's not obviously a long-term endeavor. She's dying. Okay.
Sorry to hear
With that being said, I ended up being a very, very big skeptic at first on what causes this type of disease. And then I've came 180 degrees on what Parkinson's potentially the causes are. It's believed to be caused from a genetic interaction from something in the environment. And there's a lot of different research into weird things like aspartame and stuff like that. But I'm starting to believe that there's like a billion ways to kill white rabbits. And if you want to join the enemy, you got to think up a new way.
Yep.
Put it in the food or put it in that. I think we've been poisoned 9 ways to Sunday. Yep. I totally believe that. Convinced of it.
Yep. I know. So people, pay attention. Okay, Tim, please tell us about your projects and give out all the details.
The details are, you can go to whiterabbitradio.net and you can see all our latest animations. We have we always have something in the works. I know I'm producing pieces for various different European nationalists. Most notably was one of the recent pieces I helped get done with for the British National Party. You can see all the anti-racist Hitler. You can go to whiterabbitradio.net. You can see anti-racist Hitler. You can see our latest project, which is a series of shorts called Johnny Racist. You can see the first one of that. You can see How Whites Took Over America 1 and 2. It's kind of an interesting way that the white elites genocided the Indians. You'll have to watch it and see it. But they're very entertaining, some say. They make you think about the world a little bit differently.
Oh, they're very well done. It's very professional. Looks high end. Love it.
Thank you. And we also have our flagship little guys under creation, which are basically done. In fact, I might even send them to you in an email and you can have a look. We're getting ready to start rolling out our rabbits. We have these little white rabbits.
Oh, cool.
They're very unique. It's the first time we've done 3D animation, but very unique, very different. And you can also hang out at the website. There's a Twitter feed, Eurorabbit, and you're going to see all the stuff going on all around the world, revolving around our consistent message and revolving around white genocide and all kinds of other interesting things.
By the way, I got to say, I think it was it Eugene Weekly or one of those? They mentioned you in there, and of course they quote, you know, Southern Poverty Law Center's info on you. And they mentioned that Breivik was listening to your show and you like influenced Breivik to go bomb Norway and stuff.
This is the funny thing. This is what I told them. Well, I had a response to that. There's a response to that on whiterabbitradio.net, and I thought it was rather entertaining. But Anders Breivik had like 1,000, 1,200, whatever it ended up being, email addresses that he sent out prior to that. Now, his particular thing came to Horace, it didn't come to my personal email, like they say. It came to Horace the White Rabbit at Gmail, which heavens knows I get some crazy emails. If you got a website like mine or even Red Ice, you're going to get some wild emails. With that being said, it ended up in the spam box because it had this huge attachment. And so I didn't know anything about it until well after the event. I was getting hit with all these emails from these Northern European, just basically Northern European news, different news groups sending emails out to everyone on the list. But what I always say is anyone putting me on an email list with several hundred prominent Zionists, and that's what Breivik was. He was a very his email list is a who's who of Zionists around the world. Anyone putting Horace the White Rabbit on that email list should be investigated immediately because they've lost their minds. You know, I'm guessing he just saw the link on Stormfront or something and hit it and just emailed everyone he could, you know. But he had several hundred of the prominent Zionists, and then he has someone like me. It doesn't really make any sense to me. But he was concerned in his manifesto apparently about multiculturalism, but I don't think he heard a word I've said. In fact, I know he doesn't. Because I talk about the direct opposite. That doesn't change anything. Norway didn't come down at the knees. He didn't bring the elites to the knees.
It's worse.
Killing a bunch of kids.
It's more control now.
Right. That's the whole entire point. So obviously, if you listen to my podcast at all, you're going to realize, just like this last hour, violence doesn't work. It's like I'm talking to the green people. Violence won't work for you. It doesn't work. That's the old system perpetuation. That's the model they love for you to do because they can control the message and it just perpetuates the system. What works is things that work right in front of you. This is why advertising is advertising. This is why drink Coca-Cola makes the big money. This is the stuff that controls societies. not violence.
That's right.
Violence doesn't attract anyone.
By the way, I forgot to mention, too, I love how you inserted Barbara Spector's speech in your anti-racist Hitler animation.
Right. Anyone that says something that evil, and that's geared toward kids, you do understand that most anything in anti-racist Hitler are things said to us, generally said to white kids, directly from the horse's mouth. Those aren't fake quotes. It was one of the easiest scripts to write.
Man, that lady looks like a witch. Her eyes are cold and evil.
Yeah. And she is positively evil. Anyone talking about destroying people, I don't care who the people are.
Yeah, people who don't know, she set up an organization in Sweden whose sole purpose basically is to actively promote the ethnic cleansing of Sweden and Northern Europe.
Well, you want me to read the quote? I can read the quote right
here. Read it.
I think there is a resurgence of anti-Semitism because at this point in time, Europe has not yet learned how to be multicultural. And I think we are going through part of the throes of that transformation, which must take place. Europe is not going to be the monolithic societies they once were in the last century. Jews are going to be at the center of that. It's a huge transformation for Europe to make. They are now going into multicultural mode, and Jews will be resented because of our leading role. Barbara Lerner Spector, a Sweden founder of PAIDIA, P-A-I-D-E-I-A, European Jewish Fund of Sweden. It's to promote multiculturalism. I basically use their quotes and several others like it in Anti-Racist Hitler. And you see the new Hitler. Well, you'll have to watch it. Just go watch Anti-Racist Hitler and you'll get basically the mantra in a nutshell. You'll get our message in a nutshell. Forcing this type of thing on a group of people is genocide. It's a very provocative piece, obviously. And I get legal notices over our stuff all the time.
You do?
I just got one today, actually, enough, from Anti-Racist Hitler. Another country has told YouTube to block it, issued a court order. So it is, this stuff, the system can't hold up to this type of thing.
Well, and people should be questioning, too. I mean, there are people that have questioned the Holocaust and World War II events, and they're sitting in jail.
Well, they're all in jail.
Not even in a discussion. Even Jews can't even talk.
I talk about a lot of World War II history. I don't go into the 6 million denial. And that's the first thing someone like me is going to show someone like you. You always want to reframe. It's not a Holocaust denial. They're denying 6 million. They're denying certain numbers at certain camps. That's what they're denying. 6 million denial. Reframe. And of course, anytime you're putting people in jail, and I don't care where it's at, for discussing some proposition or writing a book about some proposition, I'm going to assume there's something wrong with the proposition, whatever it is. You know, if someone in Iran is going to jail for discussing some proposition, I'm going to assume there's something wrong with it.
That's right.
You know, there's something that needs to be looked at there. But yeah, they tend to do this type of thing and they tend to overreact big time. I would have never known about the 6 million denial had they not thrown people in jail.
Exactly. Now it's like, oh, I've got to look into that. They made it obvious for you.
Yeah, exactly. And one of the characters, his wife is very sweet. Ernest Zondel, he's still, I don't even know what his deal is. Every day they change his status and stuff like that. He's out, but he can't come back to America or something like that. And these different guys, these different historians that approach it from different angles or just get brutalized for writing. You know, historical revisionism is going on right now big time with World War II. Elements of Shark Hunters, Harry Cooper and Shark Hunters, they basically are rewriting World War II history.
Mark
and they
Weber,
have huge membership. They're a big organization. They're not small and they're not lightweight membership lists. This isn't a bunch of loons. They have mountains of data, meaning like government data, government facts, government figures. Like it or hate it, I don't know. I'm agnostic on it, but you better be aware of it. But the 6 million denial industry has you know, a special group that is basically an industry unto themselves, and they're always in jail.
Mm-hmm.
For whatever reason.
Well, people should watch David Cole. He's actually a Jew. That's his fake last name there. He did a documentary years ago when he was a young guy, The Truth About Auschwitz, and it's still on YouTube. So people can watch that as well.
Yeah, well, there's more and more the Gilead Otzmans, more and more there's going to be a larger and larger cry against this type of thing. You know, Gilead Otzman was one of the only notables that ran it on his blog. Some pro-whites don't like my stuff. They don't like this particular angle. They don't like the style. What it is geared for the audience we're talking with. It's geared for an alternative news and research audience that understands there's something wrong and that something wrong is white. It's not necessarily geared for someone pro-white. In my world, the vast majority of white people are pro-white. They want to be, they like themselves, they like their culture. Even if they want to go live in Singapore for a while, that doesn't mean they're not pro-white necessarily. But as opposed to being anti-white, they don't like this stuff. They don't like the system. They don't like what it's doing to people around the world. They don't like the globalist policies. What we're doing is giving them the tools that start at the very basic level, defending themselves. And that's where it all begins because that's where it all broke down.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Tim. I know it's not easy taking a beating from the zombie collective, but, but I hope it will make you a strong, fine-tuned man. So thanks again for coming on.
Thank you for having me. It's good to be on Red Ice Creations.
So many more things we wanted to get to, but it's impossible to speak about white genocide in an hour and a half. It's time to return to our ancient European roots, and this applies to all races. To look into your family lineage, who are you, where do you come from, what are your traditions and mythologies that you hold sacred? If you don't know, start finding out, because it's no coincidence that you were born into the body and the color that you were. These are not trivial things to be overlooked. You are not American pop culture created by social engineers. You are ancient, and your lineage tells a story of where you've been and where you are going. Have a nice evening. Bye.
So